Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour, my friend. I'm Jeff Cavins, and we have a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about marriage. We're going to be talking about what marriage is, kind of this little bit about the struggles of marriage and how to overcome. The majority of us have the vocation of marriage. There are far fewer priests, far fewer religious, but many people are married. And in the society that we live in today, there are views of marriage and what marriage should be. And there's also the idea of what marriage is going to be before you get married. And then after you're married, your view changes a little bit. But the real point and the real goal is to understand marriage from a biblical perspective and to know that God created marriage and he has a plan for marriage. And we're going to talk about that today. And if you are struggling in your marriage right now, we might be giving you some advice today that might be helpful. We're going to talk in just a few minutes with Matt and Justina Kopp. They have been married for just a short period of time, and we're going to talk to them about love and marriage in the first year and see how things have been going with them. I attended their wedding about a year ago, and find out how things are going. But I also want to take you back into the Bible and look at the plan of marriage and what God really intends for marriage and how to build a strong marriage. You know, this last week, speaking of marriage, we had a great event in the Twin Cities with 9 young men who were ordained to the priesthood down at the cathedral, and that too speaks of marriage because now they're totally committed to Christ and to the Church, the Bride of Christ, and they're in their first week. I got to go to that, and also I attended now Father Michael Daly's get together afterwards, and that was really a lot of fun, and what a joyous occasion. You know that weddings and ordinations should be joyous, and in John chapter 2, we see that Jesus was at a wedding in Cana, and it is a joyous, joyous occasion, and of course, that's where the Blessed Mother said they have no more wine, and that was the first miracle of Jesus at a wedding. So we're going to talk about that. Do you know that if you have been married, listen to this, to give you an idea of how many days you may have been married. If you reach your 50th anniversary, which, by the way, today is my 38th anniversary. That's right. Today I've been married 38 years to Emily. But 50, I should do the math on this, but if you reach your 50th anniversary, you will have spent over 18,000 days together. 18,000 days together. Some good, some not so good. A few you might want to forget about, but hopefully a lot of good times together. 18,000 days. The point that I'd like to make is that the responsibility to love each other and all that it entails, it begins today. It begins today. You know, there's a principle in the Bible that it comes from our Jewish roots, and I love it, and it's this. Love comes after marriage. That's right. Love comes after the marriage ceremony, and love is something that you must work at. You know, in the culture that we live in today, you know as well as I do, turn the television on, you know, check out at the store and look at all the tabloids, and you will see that our culture today basically marries for romance. They do. They find somebody that they're attracted to, and they feel so romantic. You know, it's very, very much feeling-oriented, emotion-based attraction. And that's why they get married. But you who have been married know that oftentimes goes away very quickly, and the looks can change, and your feelings can change. And so you have to ask yourself, what is your marriage based on when your emotions change or your looks change? Or, God forbid, there's a tragedy that takes place in one of your lives. Are you still in love? Well, today, people living in the West, they marry for love, and there's a considerable emphasis placed on romance and emotion. But the challenge that each new couple always faces is how to mold this premarital feeling of romance into mature love. And the Bible gives a different perspective on love. It really does. I mean, the Bible doesn't talk about searching for that one person, you know, that is your soulmate, and you're going to find that one person. It talks more about solid commitment to whoever you marry. You make a commitment to love them, and it begins with. Love was more of a commitment in the Bible than a feeling. It was seen foremost as a pledge rather than an emotional high. And you know where we get this from? It comes from Genesis chapter 24 and verse 67. And it deals with Isaac and Rebekah. And here, I'll just read this one verse to you, because this one verse really is the foundation of the biblical notion of love. And that is that you love the one you marry, and love comes after the ceremony. It says in Genesis 24 in verse 67 that Isaac brought Rebekah into the tent of his mother, Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her. That's it. That's the progression here. That's the order that the notion of biblical love takes, and that is that he, Isaac, brought Rebekah into the tent of his mother, Sarah, and he married Rebekah. And Rebekah became his wife, and then finally, he loved her. You know, it doesn't say he loved her, took her into his mother Sarah's tent, and married her. He loved her after he married her. So I want to emphasize this point. Isaac married Rebekah, a woman he had very little contact with before, and he loved her. Now, in a world of arranged marriage, it was not uncommon for each partner to see each other, and in some cases, for the first time on their wedding day. In short, for the Hebrew patriarchs, love came after marriage. It was not a matter of falling in love and then marrying. And I know, it's not all going to change in the United States, and we're not going to go to arranged marriage, but naturally, we're attracted to certain people, and we develop a relationship, a deep love for them. And there's a romantic, you know, side to the relationship. But even deeper than that is a covenant relationship. And we're going to talk about that on the show here today. So in the biblical world, couples were expected to grow to love each other after they were married. A little bit later on the show, I'm going to give you an example of this from Fiddler on the Roof. Remember Tevye and Golda? Do you love me? What? We're going to go into that and find out a little bit more about real covenant love. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to talk with Matt and Justina Kopp. Justina's been on the show several times. They have been married now for about a year, and we're going to find out how love is going in their life. So you are listening to the Rediscover Hour. Don't go away. Talking about marriage today, I'm Jeff Cavins.
This is Father Rocky with a catechetical minute on Relevant Radio. Do you know the Ten Commandments by heart? If you don't, then how can you keep them? The Ten Commandments are a gift from God, and those who make the effort to keep them will be happy on earth and rejoice forever in heaven. Here are the Ten Commandments. Let's see if you can do them with me. First, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. Second, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Third, remember to keep holy the Lord's day. Fourth, honor your father and mother. Fifth, you shall not kill. Sixth, you shall not commit adultery. Seventh, you shall not steal. Eighth, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Ninth, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And tenth, you shall not covet your neighbor's goods. This has been a Catechetical Minute. To learn more about your faith, go to relevantradio.com, keyword cat.
I hear wedding bells. Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. talking about marriage today, talking about covenant love. And we're coming into the season now, you know, in June, where I think there's more weddings in June than almost any other time. Like my own, today, June 3rd, it's my 38th anniversary and 38 years of being married to Emily. And we have three lovely girls, and we're looking forward to 38 more. Wouldn't that be nice? Get up there to 76 years of marriage. We'll see if that happens. We're talking today about marriage. I want to introduce you to Matt and Justina Kopp. I've known Matt for many, many years. His father is Terry Kopp. He's a good friend of mine and also the godfather of our youngest. And I've known Justina for a couple of years now. And Justina is just a great young lady, become a very, very good friend. And the two of them got together and they were married last September. So I want to welcome both of you to the Rediscover Hour. Matt, Justina?
Hi, Jeff.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's good to have you guys on the show today. What was the exact date you were married? Wasn't it September?
Yeah, it was September 4th.
September 4th.
Yeah. And I'd be in trouble if I messed that up on air.
Yes, I know. Well, I've had 38 years of practicing that today.
Yeah.
So I know what happens when you even stutter when they ask, when were you married? You go, not good, not good. Well, congratulations. You're coming up on your first year. And the reason I wanted to talk to the two of you is that you've been married less than a year. And we're living in a world today where people have, you know, some bright-eyed notions, you know, of what marriage is going to be or what marriage is going to be before they're married. And then they find out afterwards. The advantage that both of you have is that you come from very strong Christian families, and you've had great examples, with your parents on what marriage is, and it's been it kind of gives you a little bit of an advantage going forward. But in real quick synopsis, how has the last year been for the two of you?
Well, it's been different than I expected, but in a lot of ways better, even though it has been challenging. Our first couple months were really rocky. We got married and then went on an awesome 3-week honeymoon, which I highly recommend to any engaged couples that are listening right now. Went on a 3-week honeymoon to Italy, which is actually where we met, and that was awesome. And then we came back and found out we were pregnant. But then 3 weeks after that, we found out that we were miscarrying our first baby.
And that is tough for a young couple to go through.
Oh, it's tough for any. It doesn't matter how long you've been married. That is still just the most earth-shattering news that you could have. And so I kind of got angry at God for a little bit there. I was like, what the heck? I thought I was doing this really awesome thing, got married to a great guy, and then why did this happen to us?
Mm-hmm.
And so the first year of marriage I've heard is like a honeymoon phase, but it's also really tough because you're learning to live with this other person and getting used to their sounds and smells and whatever. And so that was an added challenge for us, and something that I just didn't think was going to happen to us like at all, or at least not in our first year of marriage.
Sure. How about you, Matt?
Yeah, there's the past year. I mean, it's been a lot of highs, a lot of high highs, and a lot of lows, you know. And it's something I've never experienced in my life before. Just the joy and the sorrow that we've experienced has been, it's kind of unprecedented. That just, I never imagined I would be where I am today. A year ago, we got engaged last April, and it's just been kind of the most extreme year of my life in all that's happened. I mean, obviously a lot of great joy has come from it, and will continue to come from it. And so we always kind of look forward, to the future and kind of what that brings and what hope and promise that brings.
Well, I know that both of you prepared well and you had good formation and direction before you got married, and you had an idea in your mind as to what marriage would be. How in even the first year, how has that changed in your life? And I'm thinking about this in terms of people listening that aren't married right now or are going to be engaged or engaged. How has it changed in the first year in terms of your overall thought of what marriage is?
What I've encountered is that my expectations before marriage would be that we had a fairly easy engagement. Everything, the process went smoothly and everything kind of fell into place. Seemed like God was making it easy for us, you know, clearing the way, opening the doors. So I was kind of expecting marriage to be like that. And after we got married, we started facing obstacles right away, you know, and God's challenging us, you know, with losing our first child and figuring out, where are we going to live? What jobs are we going to have? You know, how are we going to support a family financially? And so I went into marriage thinking that it would be a lot like our engagement, everything kind of smooth, but, you know, God starts challenging you. He obviously gives you the graces that are poured through the sacrament, but it does bring some challenges, which I didn't expect there to be no challenges, but I expected it to. I didn't expect the challenges that we've been faced with.
Sure. So. How about you, Justina?
We were at a wedding 2 weeks ago, and I think just by virtue of having been married for 9 months and for having had this, the kind of 9 months that we had with what Matt said, with extreme highs and extreme lows, we were super prepared, I thought, going into this. And the fact remains that you have no idea what in good times and in bad means, or what in sickness and in health means, until you're in it and you're like, gosh, this is hard.
Right.
This sucks right now. But like Matt said, like the highs that we have, like the supreme joy that we have is far more than I could have even expected or dreamed of, and it totally makes those like low moments totally makes them worth it, and it gives you the strength and the grace to get through those low moments. But going into this, I had no idea what bad meant. I didn't know what sickness meant. Sometimes I don't even think I understand what all the days of my life means. Like it's a huge thing, but you are just given so much grace to get through it.
When we talk about marriage, you know, of course, we're talking about a sacrament, and a sacrament is an encounter with Christ. Can you describe in this first year how, for example, Justina, how have you encountered Christ in your covenant relationship with Matt?
I've experienced Christ in our sufferings,
mm-hmm.
That's been something that I have found myself clinging to a lot of times when it gets really rough, or like even just processing miscarriage or anything that's really happened to us in this amount of time, just clinging to the cross. And one of the beautiful things that Matt and I did that has really helped me in understanding marriage, when we set our vows and we exchanged vows, we didn't just like join our right hands. In between our hands, we had a crucifix. And we hang that crucifix above our bed, and it keeps everything grounded, and we're reminded of the joy of the resurrection, but also unite our sufferings to his sufferings, and that's been just huge for me.
How about you, Matt? How have you encountered Christ through this sacrament with Justina?
Well, when you come into marriage, you bring your own virtues that you're good at, you know, and of course your own vices. And being united with someone who has, you know, other virtues or other vices, it's really a challenge to grow in virtues that you're lacking in, and kind of letting go of that vice. We practice, being Christ-like to one another, helping each other kind of grow in that virtue, and kind of release the selfishness and the sin that, you know, we like to hang on to. It's just wonderful being married to such a virtuous woman, that she can help me become more Christ-like. And I definitely see, you know, Christ in her, mm-hmm. sacrifices that she makes and the love that she gives me.
One of the things that counselors will tell newlyweds or pre-Cana, you know, counseling, is that the first year is the year where you really establish some patterns, you establish some habits in your life as you relate to the Lord and just in interpersonal communications. Is there a couple of habits or patterns that you have purposed to establish in your life in your first year of marriage? Not saying that you are perfect at it, but are there some things that you are really hoping to establish in the first year?
I think it's really important to pray together as a couple. As you kind of grow up in your faith and you know, you're living your life through high school and college, and it's very much you have to take the initiative yourself to keep up your prayer life and to grow your relationship with Christ. But now when you enter a third, you know, you and Christ, and you enter this third person into this relationship, it's really about building the two of your relationship with Christ. And so trying to pray together, you know, participating in Mass together. And it's just, it's very important to pray, to ask God for the help, to help you with the sacrament, to ask him for the grace to get you through challenging times. So we've really tried to, you know, grow our prayer life as a couple, and we're still learning kind of what that means. Because it's different than just praying all by yourself.
So this first year now that you've been together, you mentioned the miscarriage that you had, which is very, very difficult. And I do, that's one of those where I can say, Matt, as another man, I know where you're at, because my wife and I, we struggled with infertility, you know, for the first 6-7 years that we were married. And we even thought one night, you know, after a test that we were pregnant, and it turned out we weren't, and we knew the crushing blow of that and a couple of miscarriages. But the Lord ended up blessing us with three beautiful girls. And the Lord has his ways of working in our life for our good. And I'm assuming he's going to do the same for the two of you. How are you doing in that area? I know the miscarriage was very difficult. Where are you at now?
I feel like we have been still, despite that, blessed beyond measure. We have a really great support system, and I mean, God he continues to bless us even though that happened to us. And I really believe that he mourns with us, but he also has the joy of having our little one with him in heaven. And he's helping us. He's doing so much good for us, and he has a lot of surprises in store for us.
Really? Do you have a surprise to announce here?
Yeah.
Are you having a baby?
Well, yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Having a baby.
Yeah, and we're having another baby.
Uh-huh.
Another baby.
Uh-huh.
And another baby. So we are having four babies.
Right, you're having four? As in Q, quad?
Justina is pregnant with quadruplets. God giveth and God taketh away, and sometimes when he giveth, he giveth too much. No.
Oh, that is beautiful. You are expecting quadruplets right now. Justina, how you're only, what, 2'6" or something? How's
Yeah, just a little taller than that. 5 feet tall, so this is going to be really interesting.
What in the world is that? Let's talk about this a little bit, because that's beautiful. I mean, it's like God is giving you gifts galore here.
Yeah.
Quadruplets.
It's an absolute shock. We had a little bout of infertility after our miscarriage, and we were working with the fine doctors at Alpha Family Clinic to go about addressing this in a pro-life and Christian, pro-NFP way. And if anyone doubts that those methods work, I am living proof that they do, and so are the four little tiny humans that I carry around with me. But it's funny, and we're laughing about it, but it's also the scariest thing that we are facing right now. But I have no doubt that God will carry us through, and it will give us the strength and the grace to do it.
That is amazing. Matt, what... I'm thinking about it from a man's perspective. You know, men feel this obligation to provide and protect, and you think you're going to have a baby. What went through your mind when you, who told you that? What were the first words you heard?
Well, we were at the, I got to go to the ultrasound, and we were anticipating that we could potentially have twins or something, and the ultrasound woman kind of like chuckles and laughs a little bit. She's like, there might be more, and she says, you know, here's a second one, and we're like, okay, you know, and she's like, here's a third one, and then which we didn't quite see the fourth one because it's crowded, but we found out 15 minutes later when we didn't get a picture of the third one that there was a fourth one, and so we were just flabbergasted. I mean, as having no kids right now, we are a little blissfully ignorant as to what it all, you know, entails, but it was definitely a shock, and I was like, well, I might, I don't know how we're going to do this. God's going to have to provide. If he gives, he's going to have to provide. So I was doing a job that was all commission. I was in real estate, and I still am, but I got a different job, you know, as some base, and so I'm like, okay, we're going to take this from a different financial standpoint, and we're just moved into a two-bedroom apartment, and so we're that's, like I said, there's lots of challenges with, like, okay, well, as newlyweds, how are we going to, you know, raise a family financially, and where are we going to live and stuff, and that's just kind of accelerated more than we thought it would be. So
wow, well, congratulations
to the
two of you. It is a reminder that you just never know quite what's around the corner, huh?
Yeah,
absolutely.
That is going to be something else. So I imagine it's not a matter of picking a name now, but you're picking four names. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So you always got a number of names to choose from.
Yep.
Well, congratulations to you. Before we let you go, any advice that you might give to young folks listening right now and that are either engaged or thinking about becoming engaged, what would be one bit of advice from both of you, one at a time, on preparing for marriage?
I would say going into it, one, don't delay on your NFP classes. That's one regret I have about a 5-month engagement, that I didn't get a lot of that in beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Tell us what NFP, for those who have never...
Natural Family Planning. It's beautiful. It's God's way of showing you what's going on inside your body, and it's the pro-life way to approach planning your family and spacing children or trying to conceive children without artificial means or... barrier methods or anything, and no contraception and stuff. And it's a way that couples can really truly honor and love one another. And I mean, there is some abstinence involved if you're choosing not to try to conceive 1 month, but I know if people where God had a different plan for them, and it just changes your perspective on life and keeps you open to life as a couple. So I would recommend starting that right away. I tell all my engaged friends and even my single ladies, just do it. Just learn about what's going on. And it's so empowering to know what's going on. And I would say going on dates when you're engaged, uh-huh, where there's absolutely zero wedding talk, because weddings can be so stressful.
Isn't that true? That really is true,
drama.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Just go out and enjoy one another and remember why you're doing this. And just continue to grow closer to one another in those moments where you're not talking about meal plans or place settings or whatever.
How about you, Matt?
I would say for engaged couples, really concentrate on the sacraments that you are going to be, you know, performing with your husband or wife, and not necessarily on the celebration or reception, anything that's kind of like the secular aspect, because what you're going to be doing is you're going to be, you know, celebrating the sacrament with your spouse. So I think that's really important to concentrate on that and what the day is really about, and that's you becoming one with the other person. So everything else should take kind of a secondary seat to that. For those who are married, I would just say, you know, really try to bring Christ into your relationship. If you try and do it by yourself, you know, just the two of you, it's not going to work out, because, you know, we have our human faults and, you know, our original sin. And so we really need Christ to kind of carry us through, because it's like all things that, challenge us, God gives us a cross that we need help carrying, because we can't do it by ourselves.
Well, Matt, I know your family. How many siblings do you have, Matt?
I have 9 siblings.
You have 9. So 10 kids in the family. You've always had a big family. I remember years ago, you were just a little tyke, really little, where I came back from EWTN, Life on the Rock, at the airport, and your whole family was there to greet us with posters. It was an awful lot of fun, and we've had a close relationship all of these years. But coming from a big family, Matt, it doesn't surprise me that you start with a bang right out of the chute.
Yep.
You know what? You're going to surpass your parents in no time. This is great.
We'll see.
Yeah. I appreciate both of you so much for coming on and sharing a little of your insights and experience from the first year of marriage. And we'd love to talk to you after the 4 kids are born.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and I think all of our audience would like to help you.
Yeah. I wouldn't hate that. Please pray for us.
We will. Appreciate it. That's Matt and Justina. And Matt and Justina have been on the show before. And have always been a pleasure to talk to the cops and new young family. Pray for them. We're talking about marriage today on the Rediscover Hour. We take a break now. When we come back, I want to continue to talk about marriage and go into it a little bit deeper and perhaps give you some tips on how to grow a strong covenantal marriage. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and we'll be right back.
Every week, TPM Flooring is using our experience to improve homes or offices around Twin Cities. I'm Tom Michaud of TPM Flooring. In the 90 years combined experience that our staff has, I think we've seen it all. From removing and updating worn-out carpet, vinyl, ceramic tile, and wood floors, to working with the fantastic new products available. TPM Flooring is ready to add value and enjoyment to your home or office. Our consultation and measure is free, and our expanded showroom will give you the ability to make a good flooring decision. We can usually have your new floors installed in about 2 weeks. We think you'll love how simple we make the process. We even vacuum our way out the door. TPM Flooring, give us a try by calling us at 952-746-5157 or tpmflooring.com. 952-746-5157 or tpmflooring.com.
I believe in a blessing I don't understand. I've seen rain fall on the wicked and the just. Rain is no measure of his faithfulness.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Speaking of God's faithfulness, our faithfulness in marriage today, our faithfulness in walking with God is based on God's faithfulness. The righteous live by his faith, the prophet said. And that's where we understand the faithfulness of God. We understand it by his words and deeds in salvation history. God has revealed himself in Scripture in words and deeds, and he reveals himself so that we will trust him and have confidence in him. And so marriage today is literally a participation in the life of the Trinity. It's a participation in the faithfulness of God, and it is a demonstration to the world of God's love for his church, because God is the bridegroom, Jesus is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride, and the relationship that we have as the body of Christ with the church is a relationship of fidelity. It's a relationship, a marital, bridal, spousal relationship. It's not just a theological thing. You know, it's just not a something that we believe, but it's really a participation in the life of the Trinity. And so when we get married, we enter into a covenant, not a contract. A contract is an exchange of goods, and a covenant is an exchange of persons. So when we enter into a covenant with somebody else in marriage, we are exchanging our lives. We're giving ourselves to them in such a way that we enter into a dynamic, deep trust and a giving of ourself. And this giving of ourselves and the trusting, it reflects our relationship with Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ's relationship with us. I would say that your marriage can become the closest thing to heaven on earth or the closest thing to hell on earth. You know, just depends on what you're going to put into it. It's not a 50-50 thing like a lot of people say it's really a 100-100. And prior to talking with Matt and Justina Kopp, who, by the way, pray for them, they're expecting quads, four children. And their one-year anniversary is coming up in September, so they're getting a quick start on this. Pray for them. And we're going to stay in touch with them on the Rediscover Hour to follow them throughout the birth. We're going to find out after the children are born a little bit about what they're going through then. We'll find out the names also. But prior to talking to them, I was talking to you about Isaac and Rebekah in Genesis chapter 24 and 67. I want to reiterate that just for a moment, that the modern notion of marriage is very much built on emotion, romance, feelings, looks, and those things are all fine, and they're all part of youthful love, and to a degree, they remain throughout marriage, but they do change. Emotions do change. Feelings change. Looks change. And your feelings and your emotions and looks are all dependent upon life and the changes of life, the misfortunes of life sometimes. And the question is, do you have anything in your relationship with your spouse that is more solid than emotions? Something that is more dependable than feelings? Something more enduring than looks? And the answer is yes, you do, and that is a covenant relationship, a participation jointly with the love of the Trinity. And that's what marriage is all about. It's kind of like a fine wine. It should get better in time and not become rancid and turn into vinegar. Is your marriage turned into vinegar, or is it turning into a fine wine? Well, that depends on where you place yourself and what you do in your life. Genesis 24:67, Isaac brought Rebekah into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her. And that's the pattern in the Bible, is that love comes after marriage. Love comes after marriage. In the biblical world, couples were expected to grow to love each other after they were married. There's a great example of this, actually, and you probably have heard it. Maybe you went out to the Chanhassen Dinner Theater and saw Fiddler on the Roof, or you saw the great movie Fiddler on the Roof, that phenomenal musical, a Broadway musical back in the 60s, and it became a Broadway hit. The scene, let me give you this scene. This is a great scene that really illustrates love comes after marriage. And here's how it goes. The scene is a small town in Anatevka, a little town in Tsarist Russia, prior to World War I. Tevia is a dairyman, and he's seeking to rear his five daughters. He wants to raise these beautiful five daughters according to what the good book says, you know, the good book. And Tevia wants to arrange marriages for his daughters as his own marriage to Golda, his wife, had been arranged. But we got a bit of a problem. Culture changed for Tevia, as maybe culture has changed for you and your daughters today. His daughters, they see things differently than Golda and Tevia. It is for love that they wish to marry. Yeah, they're not looking to just be matched up with someone and then love them. It is for love that they wish to marry, and this is a new concept. So now forced to come to grips with a new concept of marriage after love instead of love after marriage, Tevia approaches Golda, his wife, and Tevia says, "It's a new world, love. After 25 years of married life, do you love me?" Now, he's asking that in the sense of the daughters who are marrying for love. He says to Golda, "After 25 years of married life, do you love me?" And she says, "What?" He says, "Do you love me?" She says, "Do I love you? With our daughters getting married and there's trouble in the town, you're upset, worn out. Go inside. Go lay down. Maybe it's indigestion." "Golda," Tevia says, "I'm asking you a question. Do you love me?" Golda, "You're a fool." Tevia, "I know, but do you love me?" Golda, "Do I love you? For 25 years, I've washed your clothes, cooked your meals, cleaned your house, given you children, milked the cow. After 25 years, why talk about love right now?" Tevia, "Golda, the first time I met you was on our wedding day. I was scared." Golda, "I was shy." Tevia, "I was nervous." Golda, "So was I." Tevye, but my father and my mother said we'd learn to love each other, and so I'm asking you, Golda, do you love me?
I love you. Well, for 25 years I've washed your clothes, cooked your meals, cleaned your house, given you children.
Golda, I'm your wife. Tevye, I know, but do you love me? Golda, do I love you? For 25 years I've lived with you, fought with him, starved with him. 25 years my bed is his. If that's not love, what is? Tevye, then you love me? Golda, I suppose I do. Tevye, I suppose I love you too. Together they sing, it doesn't change a thing, but even so, after 25 years, it's nice to know. Isn't that beautiful? That's the famous Fiddler on the Roof. Golda, played by me. Tevye, played by me. But it really does raise the point that I'm trying to make, and that is, you know, they're faced with their daughters who are experiencing this new love. We're going to marry for love. And he's wondering, well, first time I met my wife was on my wedding day. Do you love me the way our daughters are loving these Russian soldiers? And she's confused, but what's her answer? Her answer is this. This is what I have done for you. My love has been respected, demonstrated by what I have done. It has been demonstrated on my devotion to you day in and day out. I have chosen to love you after our wedding day. So here we see a love that is based on commitment rather than emotions, a love that is demonstrated in everyday life. You see, this is God's will for all of our marriages, that our life be occupied with loving our wife, loving our husband, rather than trying to determine if we are, in fact, in love. And that's the tragedy, is that you get people that are married 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years and trying to determine, am I in love? What they're asking is, do I still feel that way? Well, listen, life changes in a lot of ways. Do you still feel that way? Huh. Since when did feelings have anything to do with Jesus' passion and dying for us? Do you think it felt good? No, he loved us. Loved us. If marriage is based on anything other than our commitment before God, then our marriage is founded on shifting sand. If it be founded on emotions, they'll change. If it's founded on looks, they'll change. Circumstances, they will most certainly change. Feelings, they too will change. But Jesus Christ never changes. He is a sure foundation on which you both can stand through good times and bad. I like what Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 5. He said, Paul says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. You see, love in a Christian marriage is a love based not on mere feelings or circumstances, but on a covenant relationship. And you know what? When you get married, modern day people get married. It's amazing how many people don't even know this, but when they get married and the bride's family is on the right and the groom's family is on the left as you are facing the people, they are divided that way because that is a demonstration of the ancient form of a covenant where one family stood on one side and another family stood on the other side. And the two participants of the covenant, may they be representatives from two cities, the leaders of two countries, two tribes, whatever it might be, the two representatives stand in the middle of those two families and they recite the terms of the covenant. And then in antiquity, and you can read about it in Genesis 15, they would slaughter a large animal like a bull, and the two pieces would fall opposite of each other with a pool of blood, a small channel between those two pieces of blood, and the representatives would walk between the pieces. It was called the walk of death. And they would recite the terms of the covenant and say that if we don't keep the terms of this covenant, may the same thing happen to me that has happened to this animal. We do the same thing today, don't we? We got the two families on both sides, the covenant participants walk down the middle. I'd say the walk of death, but that's not true. It's the walk of life, and they recite the terms of the covenant, and now they become one. one family, one name, and it's absolutely beautiful. But we do it today, but I'm afraid a lot of people don't, they don't really understand that covenant love. You know, when we talk about love, let me give you just a quick little Greek lesson here, because when we talk about love, there's a lot of different aspects of love in a marriage. If you want to read a good book on this, I would recommend C.S. Lewis. He wrote a book called The Four Loves, which is, it's really a good book. And in there, in the book, he talks about the four loves. One of them is storge. Storge is something that every family experiences. Storge is, I really like you. You know, and storge is the love that, for example, a mother has for a child. It's a love, but it's not the same as God's kind of love. It's a storge. Like liking the person that you marry is very important. To like the person that you're married, I suggest you do. But liking the person that you marry is important if you want your marriage to last. In other words, you have something in common. And you're sharing in that, and having Christ in common and your faith in common is really, really important. Storge reminds me of the old Jimmy Stewart. Remember Jimmy Stewart with Shenandoah, the movie Shenandoah? Young Sam asks Mr. Anderson, played by Jimmy Stewart, for his daughter's hand in marriage. Young Sam asked Mr. Anderson, which is Jimmy Stewart, for his daughter's hand in marriage. And when Mr. Anderson questioned Sam about why he wanted to marry his daughter, Sam stammered, "Well, I love her, Mr. Anderson. I love her." Mr. Anderson, played by Jimmy Stewart, said, "Well, that's not good enough." And then in that wonderful Jimmy Stewart drawl, he went on to explain, "When I married Jenny's mother, I didn't love her. I liked her. I liked her a whole lot. I liked Martha for at least 3 years after we were married. And then it dawned on me. I loved her. I still do. You see, Sam, when you love a woman without liking her, the nights can be long and cold, and contempt comes up with the sun." I like that line. I like that line because you got to like the one you marry. Then there's eros. I want you. It's more of a passionate love. And this isn't just related to sexuality. You can be passionate about even a hobby. Eros, passion, romance come. And romance goes. But it's real covenant love, on the other hand, that is really hard work. Dr. Morgan, director of the Center for Family Life Studies in Arizona State University, makes the point that less than 0.1% of the average couple's time is spent in any kind of direct physical intimacy. If your life is built on that, then you're going to have problems. Phileo is the third. It means you're my friend. In the Bible, friendship is a covenant term. And hundreds of couples were asked, you know, in one poll to explain why their marriage was a success. Top seven answers were the same for both husbands and wives, and that was, my spouse is my best friend. I like my spouse as a person. Is your spouse your best friend? That's very important in a marriage. And then there's finally agape. Agape is, I love you unconditionally. It's the God kind of love. It is self-sacrifice. It is not based on emotion. It is not based on looks. It is self-sacrificial love. The word describes God's love for us. Love is not a feeling, but a tenacious commitment to never, ever let go, to consider the other person's eternal welfare. So the world identifies love as the feelings that you have for someone, but God's kind of love is a commitment. It is a verb that we are committed to. And so I want to encourage you today to pray for our first guest, Justina and Matt Kopp, as they're in their first year expecting four babies at the same time. But I also want you to pray today for your spouse. Pray for your spouse and pray for your marriage, that God would do something special today, this month, this year in your marriage to bind you together in a covenant relationship that is committed to make the other person a saint, to help the other person become a saint, to help the other person get to heaven. and to demonstrate the love of God in your relationship, at work, in the neighborhood, family reunions, everywhere you go. Are you conscious as a couple that the two of you have something to say in how you treat each other and how you respond to one another? Little bit about marriage today on the Rediscover Hour. Going to take a break. When we come back, we have a lot of things to tell you that are going on in the Twin Cities that you might want to participate in. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be right back.
Rediscover. Wyoming Catholic College offers college-bound Catholics an opportunity through their PEAK program. Students will pursue wisdom in the classroom with professors, and they will rock climb, ride horseback, spend 3 nights on a backpacking course, learn dance and poetry, and much more.
I came to PEAK for an outdoor summer camp. To me, the academics were the inconvenience tagged on the side. However, I was pleasantly surprised. I had a taste of intellectual life, the life that asks the deepest questions and seeks the deepest answers.
Wyoming Catholic College's first PEAK camp will run from June 25th through July 9th, and the second camp from July 10th through July 24th. Openings are still available.
I expected PEAK to be very difficult for me. Gently but steadily, I was able to subdue many of my fears, build self-confidence, and grow in wonder of God's creation.
For more information on the Summer PEAK programs, visit WyomingCatholicCollege.com. Click on the Summer Programs tab or contact WCC's admissions office at 332-877-2930. Can you come alive?
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour, entering summertime, summer events in the Twin Cities here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis.
And you know, before we get to those, first of all, I never knew Jimmy Stewart sounded so much like Walter Brennan.
I know, I got him a little bit mixed up there. I wish I could go back, you know.
And the second thing, congratulations on 38 years. My wife, Mary, and I passed that milestone in February, but you will find it gets better.
Well, congratulations.
And the third thing, I found out just minutes ago that I am a great uncle for the second time. Abigail Eve Wessling was born this morning, 7 pounds, 3 ounces, 18 inches.
Well, that's wonderful.
And doing great.
That's wonderful.
So let's get to the events. Have some healing services coming up with Father Ivo Pavic. Come to receive God's mercy and healing. Thousands have experienced many healings through his ministry, spiritually, psychologically, and physically. Evening begins with Rosary, 6:30, Mass at 7 p.m., healing service to follow. Healing Mass will be at St. Peter's in St. Paul, Tuesday, June 7th, St. Michael's in St. Michael, Wednesday, June 8th, and Thursday, June 9th at Epiphany in Coon Rapids. Find out more, contact Stephanie Perchik, 763-242-2821.
Father Joseph Gillespie invites you to St. Albert the Great Parish to join in a delightful concert series of summertime jazz. The second event in the jazz series is on Sunday, June 12th from 1 to 3 p.m. The cost is $15 at the door, and the June 12th concert will feature noted soprano Maria Jetty and talented pianist, accordionist Dan Chenard. You may have heard them on NPR's Prairie Home Companion.
All young adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to Theology on Tap, presented by the Cathedral of St. Paul Young Adults. Connect with others for an evening of food, fellowship, and faith. Series is held Wednesday evenings, June 15th through July 20th at O'Gara's in St. Paul. Social hours 6:30 to 7:30, speaker at 7:30. Topics focus on faith and contemporary issues that directly affect the lives of young adults. Wednesday, June 15th, come hear Dr. John Burry speak on intentional dating. Not international dating, intentional dating. Although I know people who have done that too. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org or visit cathedralstpaul.org/CYA.
The men of the Archdiocese are invited to the Catholic Watchman Rally at St. Hubert's Catholic Church in Chanhassen on Thursday, June 16th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. I will be presenting that night to talk on Jesus walking in me, the choices I make. This Catholic Watchman Rally is an opportunity for men to draw closer to Jesus Christ and invest in fellowship with other men. There will be time for adoration and confession. Dinner will be provided and no registration is required. free will offering will be collected at the event. If you have any questions, please contact Susanna Boley at Bowles, B-O-L-L-E-S, at archspm.org or call 651-291-4411.
On Saturday, June 25th, Our Lady of Grace in Edina is holding the 6th annual Widow's Day of Reflection, Day of Prayer, Reflection, and the Intercession of Mary, Mother of Jesus, and Widow of Joseph. This event is endorsed by the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage and will feature keynote speaker Father Richard Simon and Michelle Denise Michaels. Morning begins with 8:30 a.m. Mass and concludes after lunch. Find out more or register at olgparish.org or call Cheryl 952-831-2656. And what is up next week on the Rediscover Hour?
Well, next week on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to hear from Bishop Mariano Parra. He's the bishop of the diocese down in Guyana. In 2001, Robert Pates, the auxiliary bishop of St. Paul in Minneapolis at the time, worked with Bishop Mariano. We're going to talk about the work down there. It's going to be a little bit about missions in the Archdiocese. You won't want to miss it. Next on the Rediscover Hour.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.